Ken Lasso Welcome Wagon has arrived.
Yay!
Action. What's going on, everybody? How's everyone doing today? Happy Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. Hope everyone's having a great day. Hopefully everyone had a great day. It was a hot day here in Texas, man. Definitely was. Yesterday was a teaser. Yesterday felt cool. It felt good. It was a teaser saying, hey guys, it's not fall and we're not going to get a fall. That's pretty much Texas slapping us back in the face. Lex, how you doing over there, man?
I'm doing really good, man. Same thing. I was hoping that fall was on its way and no, I knew it was too good to be true.
Yep, took a slap, man. We got a slap back with the heat. What's going on, everybody? This is Alamo City Movie Talk. This is our review of Ted Lasso episode 5 and 6. So first off, obviously, we're very behind on this. We were ahead of it. Believe it or not, we were so ahead of this way more than we thought we would ever be. And life finds a way. I mean, life found a way to just really shape everything up. We got busy. I mean, it's the beast, you know. It's just the beast that we're really going through right now. And yeah, man, I just, once again, I do apologize for that. It just, you know, we got a little sidetracked a little bit. And then now that there's no really crazy break, blockbuster movies coming out this week, we actually have time to catch up on this and to actually review these episodes. So me and Lex will start reviewing them once again, guys. And we do apologize on that because we were getting a lot of downloads on our podcast form as far as for the Ted Lasso. And let's get right to it, man. Episode 5 and 6. We're going to start with episode 5, Rainbow. Which is a really different episode. And dude, okay, so I could have never imagined to see where Ted has been at, Nathan. You know, we get to see these different characters. Really, we get a different side of Nathan that we have not seen before in that episode, Rainbow. The struggles that he goes with eternally and just with himself and just with being a person there. And we really see that a lot in this episode. I mean, what can you take away from this episode, Lex, that you really enjoyed out of this episode 5, man? What would you take out of this overall? Yeah. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, so I mean, Nathan's a very interesting character because, as we've talked about, like, you know, in season one, he was this very timid person.
Yeah.
He didn't have a huge presence. He was being bullied and all that stuff. Exactly. And so this time, you know, he has found a home, and he has found a community with the Ted Lasso coaching team and the team in general. But he's still lacking some of those qualities, right, that he sees in other characters, like their confidence, their presence, their ability to, think of what they want to do and doing it, or what they want to get and getting it, especially because he's surrounded by a lot of famous talent, right? So
yeah, exactly.
We see him in this place where he feels like he has some sort of leverage now because of his role in the team, but at the end of the day, he's still not able to do something as simple as getting a table at the restaurant that he wants to get for his family. And a lot of it comes from him wanting to also prove to his family, right, that, hey, I'm doing a lot better. I can do these things for you guys. I want to pay back to you guys. He almost wants to impress his family as well as himself.
Definitely, man. I mean, we really see, once again, we just see a totally different side of Nathan, where you kind of get a little vibe of it at the beginning of this season, though. Like, you really do. The season takes off. Literally, I love the trailer. That's why I played the beginning of the trailer for it. I mean, the season really takes off to where, like, exactly, I mean, obviously there's a time difference, but it feels like we're gonna see a different side of all these characters. And it's weird, man. I never, you know, I kid you not, man, I surprisingly glanced on the season one, right? So I was just like going through, I was like, okay, Apple TV, cool. I got Apple for the year. I got the iPhone. Me and my wife got the iPhone. We got Apple TV for the year. It's like, what the hell are we gonna watch on here, right? Because at the time, it's just, you know, you're just average, because it barely got on streaming, and we're just like, okay, whatever. The new Anthony Mackie film with Samuel Jackson, that one came out. That was a good film. If you have not checked that out, guys, that's on Apple TV. And next thing you know, they came out with these shows. I believe this is the third or second TV show, but this is like of the that the release date came out that got nominated for a lot of Emmys, man. Like, we're talking record-breaking, obviously, for Apple, because this is like their very first, you know. And then also with the morning show is what really got us hooked. That's another show which starts this Friday, guys, which is so great, which we saw a little glance in the Apple event that happened this week. But all bets aside, man, I mean, dude, I bet you money that if you watch this TV show, if you have not seen this TV show, if you have not seen it, I bet you money. I bet you $100 that you will, that you're going to enjoy it. You're going to fall in love
You're going to have to pay up now.
I know, right? I'm going to have to pay up, man. All right. I'm going to have to pay up. Do 100 pennies. That's what I'll do. 100. Never mind. Lex corrected me on that. Yeah, I meant 100 pennies, which is one.
I mean, I'm sure some people. I don't know. You have to be a tough cookie for you not to really like this.
But see,
show,
but even you're a tough cookie. Look at Roy Kent. I mean, dude, come on, bro. Even if you're a tough cookie, I guarantee you're gonna love it, man. I just know it. And it's funny because I know tough guys that are real hard asses, and they're just like, oh, I don't know, I ain't watching it. And then they watch it, and it's just like, dude, this is a good show. Because you fall in love with one of the characters. That's the beauty of this show. The way that it's being written, the way that each character is being written, just to look at this poster here, that's why I keep it up, because I'm like looking at each personality here. The way these characters are written, they're written so well, where they all have character development together in every episode. This is a show that I've never seen before besides being artistic, but just, you know, rom-coms and all that, or really, those romance teen CW show. One of my favorite shows is One Tree Hill. Besides that, it's just, this is a really good show, man. And to know that it's just so good, and Apple TV knows it's so good too. That's the thing is that gets me, is that, like, dude, they know how good it is. They know how great this show is doing. I just love this, you know, episode Rainbow. Once again we stated already, Nathan, we got a different side of Nathan here. Nathan actually comes out of his shell, and it's funny too, because I think we've all been in that place in our lives, you know. And I feel like, you know, here's the crazy thing. You can call me out on it, Lex. Call me out on it. Tell me you're a liar, Ryan. You're lies. But I feel like this is like a life show, man. This is like a life show for anyone, whatever point in your life that you're going through, you know. Whether it, and it's weird because we see new love, we see divorce, we see so much, someone who's lost, someone who can't stand up for themselves. We've seen almost all these characteristics in our lives, or we've been there at one point in our lives. And it's weird because it's just, I just found it so heartfelt, and that's why I always say it's a good heartfelt show. And that's why I think it's so good, because they show what life does to one, and then they go to work, and then we see them at work, we see them, you know, really correspond with each other at work, and then we see them struggle at work, then we see them struggle at home. And it's just, I just love how real it is, man. But once again, it's just all these characters, Roy Kent, Nathan. I mean, we see Roy Kent even have character development in here, man. I know that everyone likes to say it's Nathan's episode, but at the same time, it's kind of it's Roy's episode too, man. That's the thing we really see, identify. He actually, I'm not going to lie though. I thought we were going to start off the season with Roy Kent coaching. I'm not going to lie. I really thought we were. And then knowing that it actually happened, it was beautiful, man. I could understand why they waited, why the filmmakers, why the creative people were just like, no, we're not going to do it just yet, guys. We're going to build it up for it. We're going to have him figure it out on it. It's almost like he was raw footage, and just he figured it out on his own as a human being. It's weird. It just, I don't know. It just, call it what it is, man. I know this is all acting, but I'll bet, but I mean, it's beautiful acting, man. It really is. I love how each of these characters are, man. I fall in love with them, man. Every single one of them. What did you think, man, of this Roy's episode, or I guess part in it?
Well, the story of Roy here was very interesting, because we have found that he, you know, he caved in to start his commentating journey, right? In episodes prior. Yeah. And he's being himself in that commentating role, right? And he like, while others are being critical, he's just cynical, and it was awesome. It creates for a lot of comedic moments, and he kind of like checks the other commentators at the same time. But You could see that he's much more than that, even in that role. Like, he's always been a leader.
You can tell.
And yeah, and even last season, you know, they showed that a big part of what he does and his impact is that he's a leader. And I feel like part of him thought that the only way for him to be a leader was through, you know, being on the field himself. But, you know, Ted approaches him, asks him for a favor, and, you know, he tells him about the problems that Isaac is dealing with for him to step into that leadership role as well. And so I think that started making Roy think about there's still work to be done and there's still things that I can improve and help the team. And as much as he thinks like he's better than that or he's past that, he kind of finds himself in a position where he finds joy in it. And that's eventually what makes him turn into that coaching role.
So like, you know, going back into that right before he actually decides to do coaching, we actually see him not necessarily have a breakdown, but has a breakthrough. If that makes any sense. He really like goes above and beyond to where like he literally dissects what the commentators are dissecting. And it's like, and it's beautiful, man. He doesn't have a breakdown. He has a breakthrough to where like, why are we talking about, you know, why are we, it's just like, it's all like,
you guys can't even do anything.
Twat, but, you know, or just wanka. And it's, it's amazing, man. I love this because it just really shows us how this character really comes about and how he really progresses throughout this whole season, man. Roy Kent is just, wow, that's a good, awesome character. I love that character so much. Lex, I know we didn't have this on our notes, man, but or we don't have any notes, but I know I don't have this on our notes, but who do you relate more to in this season, man, so far?
I gotta say Ted, because
Ted. Oh wow!
Yeah, okay. I'm just someone who's always optimistic. I'm all about, you know, believing and looking in the good of others and all that stuff. And I mean, no one really matches to Ted right at that level. He's definitely the epitome of optimism and positivity while still dealing with very human issues, right? But I think it's someone that I relate to the most because it's who I'm aspiring to be like the most. And I would say that's the one. I mean, that was also true in season one, but I mean,
so, okay, that was the next question I was going to ask. Has it been its way through season one as well? So, I mean, you can ask my wife, but I'm more like Roy Kent, man, on the inside and out. I really am, dude. I mean, granted, I don't say wanker all the time or wanker. Yeah. You know, I would say not 100% Roy Kent. I would say probably like 60%, I would say. Then that's giving me, don't ask my wife, but that's 60%. I would say she's probably gonna say the 80 or 90. But yeah, man, I would say at least 60% Roy Kent. And you know, I want, and that's the thing too, because I struggle even with myself we all struggle as human beings, but it's like, I want to be like Ted, but it's so hard because, and obviously we see that take a toll on him on the next episode, man, but before we get into that, any more final thoughts on episode 5?
Well, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to also, Rebecca and Keely on this episode because they played a big role in helping Nathan achieve that level.
Yes. I totally forgot about that. Thank you for that.
And it's very interesting because Nathan initially went to Keely, right? But he went to Keely for the wrong reason. He was like, I want to be famous like you. So it wasn't like teach me how to be confident, things like that. But Keely, once again, Keely surprising us.
Yeah, definitely.
Keely took stepped into a role where it's like, okay, come with me. She goes to Rebecca. Rebecca immediately tries to help him out and book it for him. But Keely was the one who told Rebecca, like, hey, how about we teach him? Because if we teach him, this is going to help him for the rest of his life. And I think, once again, it shows the kind of person that Keely is. And then Rebecca as well, being more involved into the team and how individuals within the team can improve themselves. And so Rebecca is showing great leadership on that front as well. And it was just really fun to see kind of like what a per, I don't even want to say a personality, but what a confidence makover looks like.
Definitely.
You know, I thought that was a really good element from the episode as well.
It really was, man. I totally forgot about, yeah, Keely and all that. And you know, Keely's come a long way too, man. It's crazy how far she's really come. And I know I'm going to say that every episode. It's just, because I'm surprised, man. I'm surprised how well these characters have really come together. And it's weird because it's like a workplace you always wanted to be a part of, man. It's weird, man. Yeah. I love it because it's just, you want to be a part of that that beautiful, positive energy. And granted, it is a sacrifice because, you know, you have to keep that positive energy afloat and you have to believe, like the sign says on top, you know, on the, the soccer stadium and, you know, or the football stadium, sorry, if you're in London. But yeah, man, I'm totally on board, Rebecca. We see a different side to Rebecca too. We also see a mystery person she keeps talking to, mm-hmm. which we'll get into, and which is crazy. But yeah, let's get right to it. So episode 6, man. Episode 6 title is The Signal. So we are just gonna review episode 5 and 6, guys. And of course, we're mentioning spoilers, so we do apologize. I know I didn't say that up front, but obviously we're mentioning spoilers. These episodes have been out for a little while now, so yeah. Roy Kent comes in as a coach, and we're actually winning, man. I love that. Yep. Richmond is finally winning. You know, it's funny because I could have sworn at the beginning of this episode, the beginning of this season, Lex, mm-hmm. I could have sworn, we could go back on the videos, that like I said, I was like, I'm getting tired of them losing, or like, yeah. I literally was. It's cool. And it's because even the psychologist was just like, or the therapist was just like, she said, do you enjoy having a, like, I'm obviously not word for word what I said, but pretty much saying like, is a positive energy at work the sacrifice of not winning? Because mm-hmm. you can't have, you know, because he doesn't get after him or whatever. And then we saw a bad Ted Lasso. We saw another Ted Lasso in there. but yeah, man, obviously you can do both, man, in that sense so far as we know. But yeah, obviously we could have a good positive, and you believe in positivity, and they could actually finally win a few games here. And yeah, man, I mean, I believe they won the conference.
I forget exactly which one they won, but they're moving
it's forward. It's a conference something. They mentioned conference. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a conference. You know, Team Finance working together. You know, I'm not going to lie. I love it when Ted walks into the building and, like, he literally says hi to every single person. Yeah. Everyone's saying hi to him. They're all like, hey, how's it going? Dude, I just love how the camera is following him. I love that, man. Dude, this is beautiful. I just love it. Love it. Love it, man. It's hard. And the thing that sucks to me about Apple TV is that, like, this is a series that I would buy. They're not going to release it on Blu-ray because they didn't release last season on Blu-ray. So it's like, dude, I would totally buy this season. When it gets complete, of course, not right now, but when they ever announce when it's going to be the last season, Apple TV, you better release this on Blu-ray or 4K, dude, because
yeah,
I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. Since Apple's new in the streaming world, I don't think they have the distribution partnerships and stuff like that with Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Getting all that stuff. Because when it happens on other shows, it's because they have, like, each show is produced by a studio, and the studio itself has.
But Apple TV has a lot of money.
They have a lot of money. I'm just wondering if there's it's more trouble. It's more trouble than anything. So I don't know.
It's true though. They're trying to get in the streaming world. I totally agree.
Yeah, it would be awesome. It would be awesome to get a whole like collectible.
Yeah, whole box set, steelbook that sucker.
Maybe for people that are not into streaming. And like they could be introduced with the show via Blu-ray, but then maybe they subscribe or something. Like that would be really interesting.
Yeah. True. But so going on, like once again, I just love that episode.
Yeah, and it showcases who Ted is, right?
Because yeah.
he's talking to some people, giving them affirmation, you know, telling them, hey, you did great on this yesterday
or
whatever, and even talking to one of the members on the stadium. He was saying like, hey, like how's your mom's birthday, like make sure you tell her the gift is from both of us.
So great thing you mentioned that, because I was about to mention that too. This guy has no boundaries, and I mean that in a totally positive way. When I mean like no boundaries, he says hi to the grass cutter who's cutting the grass, who's in reality, I mean, in a sense to where, like, I don't want to say he's a nobody, but like the coach should not, like, he doesn't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't have to say, oh, hey, how's it going, buddy, at the grass, you know, cutting the grass or whatever. He could just be a hard-on coach because he gets paid a lot more or whatever. And he's not that person, man. He's saying hi to everybody. He says hi from the guy cutting the grass to the receptionist to the people. It's beautiful, man. This guy is just everything I want to be one of these days. Maybe. I don't know. That's the thing. It's just because we see that really take a toll on him in this episode, man. A very different light. It's a very different insight into Ted's reality and all in his head. But yeah, so once again, the Diamond Dog. Rah, 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 that was awesome. I like how they do that. Okay, so I literally thought Ted was going to tell him, oh, you could stay, Roy. Or like, I thought Ted was all like, you're part of it now or something. But he said, I think Ted tells him, he says, oh, you could stay if you want. He's like, no, thanks. And then he closes the door.
No, I think doesn't he tell him like you could be a part of it or something like that?
Oh, okay. Then, maybe he does. Okay.
I think he does. And then
he's like, that's what he says. No, thanks. No, yeah. No. He says, no. You got to say it right. You got to say it. He's like, no, thanks. And then I love it because towards the end of that scene, he comes out. When y'all start barking, that means y'all are done, right? He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. And I was all like, dude, that's awesome. He's like, bro, Diamond Dog's out. I love how when they make up stuff at the beginning of the season, like, it's just, we're following them along. Like, it literally, it's like every single thing they do really progresses them as individuals once again, and just and as groups as well, because they all have their connections. They all have their interconnections mm-hmm. with each other and everything. So that's beautiful. You know, I love the casual conversations. I can't get enough of them, dude. I really can't. Yeah. These so many different casual conversations. And when I mean casual conversations, it feels like, obviously, this is a script, right? This really mm-hmm. is. It's a scripted show. It's a sitcom, I guess, in that sense. But is it weird that it doesn't feel that way? Is that weird? Is that weird? Like,
I think it's just that the show is written to make natural jokes. So like, it's not the jokes that you would find in a sitcom, it's the jokes that you would find in real life and real conversations. So I think that's why everything comes natural. And I think they do a lot of improv within the series. So I think they do improv. They come up with lines on the spot.
That's awesome.
And they have a lot of control.
That's amazing. And see, and here's the thing. Apple TV has come a long way when it comes down to like the standard here. And here's the thing. Going back to where, like, about the standard that I was talking about, you know, I didn't know what standard to keep up with Apple TV, but Apple TV has come a long way, man. They are making so many TV shows and movies to where it really has an artistic point and a very artistic platform, man. You know, they're showing quality over quantity, man. That's the point. Like, dude, can you tell me? And it's hard because I literally looked through all the shows and the movies of Apple TV this weekend. I'm all like, dude, can you tell me something that I really hated or really didn't like on Apple TV right now? Like, this is tough. Even the documentaries are good, dude. Like, damn, like, they take a little while for them to come out, but quality over quantity, dude. And I could tell you, I could probably go on Netflix right now. I'm on so many different things. I can name at least 10 things just scrolling through just the first 10. I could probably name you a lot of bad movies that should not have been made. Yeah. And granted, I'm talking about Netflix originals and Netflix original shows.
Yeah.
But I do not count Sex Education because that comes out tomorrow. So that's so great. I love Sex. I love me some Sex Education. That's a great show. If you have not seen that, it's on Netflix. But yeah, so going back into this, you know, we see Jamie really struggling because it's like with wanting to be coach. It's weird. It's funny because we saw Roy and Jamie really go at it towards each other, you know, man up towards each other and everything last season. And mm-hmm. now that Jamie wants to be told shit, like, it's weird. It's weird, man. Well,
He's wanting. We recently had an episode where he really wanted to prove himself to the team, right? He's been wanting to mix in and kind of prove that he's the asshole that he was, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, so he's trying to open up to Roy and see, like, hey, coach, like, any suggestions or anything?
I love it though, the way he's like begging, like, it's funny, man. He's begging like a dog. I hate to say it, but in reality, he really is. And I think he feels that way too, because obviously he He has to listen to Roy, or he listens to Roy to, like, I mean, he says, you know, that you suck or whatever, you know, you're a prick. But it's just one of those things to where you just follow him along this journey, man. It's funny though. Jamie it's weird because it's like, I did not expect that scene where Ted Lasso is there and Jamie, and Roy tells him straight out, and he's all like, "You want me to tell you what's wrong with you?" And he's like, "Yeah, tell me straight out. You messed him up. Like, I think what does Ted tell Jamie? I think he says, what does Roy tell Jamie? I'm sorry, what does Roy tell Ted? He tells him you screwed him up or something, or like you messed him up, remember?
Oh, because
he's not a prick on the field.
Yeah, because he told, because Ted is the one who told him, like, hey, like, if I'm bringing
you back, be a team player,
like, yeah, you're gonna be a team player. You have to value that you're not out there by yourself. And so, yeah, so Jamie doesn't have that same aggressiveness. Not only, like, it's good for him not to have aggressiveness towards his own team, but he's lost the aggressiveness altogether, even when playing against other teams.
Which is not good.
He was telling him, like, he needs that. He needs that's his game. Level of that. Yeah.
Yeah. In reality, that's his game. And we see that really I did not expect that at all, man. Like, I was just like, whoa, what the heck? And Roy Kent really comes in and tells him, like, you need to be a prick on the field, and because you need to score goals. We need you to score goals. We don't need you to be a team player. Your game is not a team player, because he even said it. You're an average player now. Like, dude, he's an average player. Like,
man. Yeah, I think it's about finding that balance, right? But I think he needed that push for sure.
Definitely, man. Definitely. And yeah, so we get a little sense into that world. I'm just like, wow, that was crazy. I just love that Roy saying, you know, he's just, you're not a prick no more. So that's a bad thing, because you're not a prick. Yeah. I just find that funny. And they were all like, we'll give you a signal. Well, how will I know? And then Ted's all like, I love that small little few second pause, and Ted and Jamie are just like, wait, I need specifics here. You know, yeah. I need to know what signal. And then they're all like, and then of course we see that later on in the episode where they literally tell him to be a, you know, they flick him off. Even the commentators even say, like, oh, it looks like Ted Lasso's getting used to our language here.
Yeah.
I was all like, damn, dude. Just the game flicked off at, like, pretty really funny. Like, that was awesome. I love that. That was great. That was a great little comedy laugh right there, man. That was great. But yeah, so we see that struggle really here, and we see him actually come back. He comes back and starts winning goals, man. That's awesome, dude. Like, he starts winning, and they win the game.
Yep.
But right before they win the game, we see something crazy we have not seen at all this series, or these past, or we got a little sense of it last season.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went away. It was very small, though. It wasn't as extreme as it was now. And then we get Ted Lasso struggling.
He's having a panic attack.
Yeah, it looks like he's you know what? And it's funny, because I was thinking in my head, literally in my head, I was thinking, like, you know what he's doing? All this stuff in the very beginning of this episode, going back to the beginning where Rebecca and Rebecca's mom, remember how he mentions, oh, well, your wife left you. You see, I don't know if you saw, his eye kind of twitched a little bit. Like, or I mean, not twitch, but like, you could tell, like, it bothered him. Mm. Whatever they mentioned. Remember, they're having the lunch, and it bothered him, and it hurt him in a way to where he just doesn't say anything. He's a pacifist. He doesn't really say anything. And we see that a lot. We just know that's his character, you know? Like, and granted, there's a cost. And I feel like we'll get that more in a sense the next two episodes, but there's a cost at being positive, you know? I mean, it sucks, because it just feels like he can't say anything, because otherwise it goes by as talking back or giving attitude back or just getting annoyed. And that's the thing. And that's the reality is that it takes a toll on him. And we see that at the very end of this episode where she's hiding out. I did not expect that at all, though, by the way. I did not. I don't know where. I literally thought he was going to be in a corner crying, or in the corner, not crying or angry with himself. In his office, in the corner, like underneath the desk. I thought he was going to be under there, but actually we catch him in the, I think it's the therapist's office, right?
Yeah, the therapist's office.
Yeah.
And what what I found interesting too is that while he was having the panic attack, though I think it's related to his marriage and the way he's during the panic attack, there was some audio playing, and they were, one of them was like a message from Jamie's dad to Jamie telling him that like whenever he's being a team player, that like he's not anything, that he's worthless or whatever. I forget exactly the line, but there were some lines that were playing. So it's almost like even just that itself, it gives him anxiety, or he's having difficulties at certain levels.
See, and I feel like he's holding it all in because he just ignores it. But here's the thing, though. Here's a problem with that. And I see it a lot with the personal wise, is that if you hold it all in, it's going to come out eventually at the worst possible time. And we see that come in live television. You know, this is a live televised event, and everybody was questioning it, and also affected the game because they scored on Richmond. It affected them because everyone was watching, like, where's coach?
But Nate stepped in, right?
Yeah, dude. So
that was also really cool.
That was cool. That was awesome. I really thought Roy Kent was gonna be like, "You shut up, Wanka." Like, I really thought he was gonna say something, but I mean, they let him go because you know why? He was determined. He was confident, and it looked like he knew what the hell he was doing.
Yeah, so I give him props. Awesome. So he finally got recognized at a bigger level, right? Because it was an important win.
Yes, and also in the beginning of the season, we see Nate really not get appreciated enough, and he wants to feel appreciated. Remember, I think, I don't know if it was this episode, it was the last episode where he's all like, "Oh, I didn't get a Keurig," or "I didn't get a coffee maker," or something. Yeah. And I think it was the last episode, and he's like, "Oh no, this is for the players, so they could put the photos up or whatever, you know, on the Insta." And so, like, he got hurt by that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird. He got hurt by that. We see these characters change dramatically throughout this season, man. I don't know, man. Season two, it's getting good. It's getting better. It's getting more into the deep stuff, which I'm going to love. And I can't wait.
I'm excited to see also Ted starting to open up because, once again, he's someone that advocates being a resource for people and being a source of positivity, but it seems like he needs something like that himself.
Exactly. Because he's holding it all in.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's, I know this is a wrong metaphor. It's like everyone's sucking the blood life out of the blood life positivity out of him. And it's like, he's left in the end of the day. He's just left with no positivity. So it's just there. So it's like he gives everyone that good positive nature force around him, around his individual support and everything. He supports everybody in the very end. Who really supports him? You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, I know that's a wrong metaphor, but I mean, I'm pretty sure it made sense, right? It made sense somewhat, right?
Yeah. I don't think that like he's running out of it. It's more of like
reassurance.
Once again, he's good to be there for people that have problems, and he wants to be that person, but he's not looking for someone for him to rely on, right?
So true.
Yeah, I don't think it's like it's that he's running out of it. Yeah, like it takes a toll on you being there for others, but then you're not looking for someone to be there for you. So like I think it's a little bit more of that. And just like you said, like holding it in, it just starts eating you up from the inside.
Definitely, man. All right. I guess we forgot to rate these episodes, but episode 5, what are you gonna give the rating on, man?
That was Nate's episode.
Rainbow.
I think because of also how it ends and Roy, there's like an epic scene where Roy like marched his way down to the stadium to become a
That was awesome, by the way. He was giving away all his stuff. Sorry, he was giving away all his stuff. The watch and the money. And then he hurt himself and then he hit his knee. I was like, oh crap, dude. I was like,
I think because determined. Of that scene alone, I think that's a 9. Like, that's a solid 9 for me.
Yeah, definitely. Episode. Same here.
And then for this one,
dude, I'm gonna do a 9.3, man, because of that ending. because it opens up a whole can of worms between Ted, which we never seen. Again, though, this is not because it's comedy. This is not because of the comedy relief. This is because of a very dramatic twist of events here that is about to occur for Ted Lasso, ladies and gentlemen. It's so good. I can't wait to experience this. I can't wait for you guys to watch it. I'm pretty sure everyone's watched it by now. Yeah. But, freaking Lex, but I'll watch it eventually. Yeah, thanks for talking with us, guys. Thanks for talking Ted Lasso with us. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. But we'll be doing these, I'm gonna try to release these as much as we can right before we hit October. For sure we're gonna release these before October, because October is gonna be a busy month for Alamo City Movie Talk. And if you have not heard about us, be sure to check us out on the Movie Talk channel, which is on YouTube, guys. And you can look and you can like that, subscribe us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram too for all your movie news, movie related stuff, guys. But as always, I'm your host, Ryan D, aka Ryan680.
Bye, everyone. Or do I just say Lex? I won't. Bye, everyone.
Oh, you're good, bro. Bruh. Catch y'all later, guys.